speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
The writer of the book of Hebrews said, "Who have fled for refuge." That implies that we understand that there's danger available, danger that is present. And it means that we understand there's a place of safety, a harbor of safety of where we can go. The writer of the book of Hebrews wanted us to understand that Jesus is that refuge to whom we flee. Just a few moments ago, as we sang the song, "He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock," you and I need to understand that Jesus is our place of safety. I'd like to begin our lesson this morning by pointing out there are times of danger when you and I seek refuge and a place of safety. Just think with me for a few moments, if you will, about some practical matters. For instance, when I grew up as a young man in North Alabama, we lived in a section of the country known as Tornado Alley. And every weekend, it seems like during the spring, we would go to what we call the storm cellar, the storm shelter. And when Coretta moved to Vernon, it wasn't long, just a few months after we were married, that a tornado blew the roof off of our house, right after we were married. You learn to seek a place of safety, a place of refuge during the time of a storm. Also, I remember very vividly, because I was in elementary school during the early 60s, during what was known as the Cuban Missile Crisis. During that period of time, there were a number of places that were built in our country known as fallout shelters. I remember the very first time I visited the only one in the city of Vernon. It was at the jail. They carried us on a field trip, and I remember seeing the little sign, and it said capacity. I want to say about 70 people. And I remember thinking there was about 100 of us went to see that and thinking there won't be room for all of us there. It was a time of fear. What would happen if a nuclear bomb were to detonate in the South, which would have been a very great likelihood? Would people have had a place of safety, a place of refuge? Probably even more common and more prevalent, there are battered women's shelters, places where women who have been abused by men can go and know they find a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place where they don't have to fear from harm. What I'd like for us to do this morning is to understand that there are places that God has designated in the Bible where God says, if you want to be safe, here is where you go. And I want us to look at five things. I want us to look at the ark. I want us to look at the house. I want us to look at the city. I want us to look at the ship. And then finally to look at the church and find an application for all these. Let's begin very quickly. I'm going to have to move swiftly during our lesson this morning. So let's look first of all at the ark. And if you'll remember, the condition of this earth had degenerated greatly. And you say, how bad was it? When you go to Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, here is the kicker phrase here. "And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." God looked at man, and no longer was God impressed with the creation that he had made and how it had turned out. God was looking, and man was violent, man was evil, man was thinking, and here's what God said. So the Lord said, "I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." And yet, as I go further, I realize that there was only one way to save the world, And that was for God to destroy it. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, there Peter says, "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly." God saved Noah, not just in the ark, but God saved Noah. God saved this world by destroying the wicked. We understand that same principle today. Several in our congregation have been afflicted with a dreaded disease called cancer. And the doctors will tell you that the process by which you save that person's life is to kill the part of the body that is creating the problem. In other words, you have to destroy it to save it. Well, that's what God had to do with this world. And as you go further, you will realize there was only one place that God had designated as a place of safety, and that safety was inside the ark. In Genesis 6 and verse 19 we read, "And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female." And then chapter 7 verse 21, "And all flesh that moved on the earth, birds, cattle, beast, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, all that was on dry land died." So He destroyed all living things that were on the face of the earth, both man and cattle and creeping things and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. The ark was a place of safety. It was a place of refuge. Noah, as we learn in 2 Peter 2:5, was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah told them that the flood was coming. But the response of the people was simply this: they mocked. And only Noah and his family were preserved alive. Now let me talk to you, second of all, about the house. If you go to the book of Exodus and those first 12 chapters, you will realize that there were plagues brought on the Egyptians. Those 10 plagues that were brought on them was to teach them that God was God and they were not. To teach Pharaoh that he was not in a position to bargain with God. Exodus 5 and verse 2 says, "Who is the Lord? I do not know the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." However, he did. And the last plague that was brought on the Egyptians was the death of the firstborn. And there was an event that occurred during that period of time. There was what was known as the Passover. And God told them to take a lamb and to kill it, and to eat it that night. And if your family was not large enough to be able to eat that by yourself, then what you were to do, a couple of families were to get together. And so this was known as the plague of the firstborn. And there were specific instructions as to what they were to do. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 7, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they were to eat." If you go a little bit further to verses 22 and 23, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin." Now listen carefully. "And none of you shall go out of the door of this house until morning. You stay inside the house. You don't go from the house. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when He sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come to your house to strike you." God said the place of refuge during that period of time is in the house, not just any house, but it's in the house that has the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, the header over the door. That's the only place that you can go. The only place that God specified for the family was the houses where God had told them to put the blood on those doorposts. Number three, the city. When the children of Israel settled the promised land, each of the tribes was given a specific area to be able to live. You would have, for instance, the tribe of Dan. You would have the tribe of Naphtali. And they would each possess their particular part of land. But to the Levites, He did not give a land inheritance. To them, He gave 48 cities for the people to live in. And of those 48, six of them were chosen to be what were called cities of refuge. And if a person kills someone accidentally, let's say they're out chopping wood and they're chopping with that axe, and then the head of the axe comes off and then it hits his neighbor in the head and cuts his head open and he dies. That's an accidental death. One could flee to one of those cities and find refuge and find safety there. Notice what is said in verse 6 and verse 15. Now among the cities which you shall give to the Levites, you shall appoint six cities of refuge to which the manslayer may flee. And to these you shall add 42 cities. Now verse 15. The six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills someone or kills a person accidentally may flee there. It was not for a person who would kill premeditated, out of anger, but only those who were killed accidentally. When you arrived at the gates of those cities, they would ask the question, why are you fleeing here? I killed a man. Why did you kill him? How did you kill him? And if they determined that he had killed him accidentally, he was granted entrance, and there he was permitted to stay. Now the manslayer here, the one that he's being protected from, is under their system of law, was that if I kill one of your family members, the next of kin was able to kill me. That was the way you exacted a hand for a hand, foot for a foot, an eye for an eye, or a life for a life. And God made provision for those accidental killings by providing these cities here. But now, if you were to leave that city, let's say, for instance, you fled to that city for refuge, for safety, because you'd kill someone accidentally, what would happen if you left the town? What if you decided you wanted to stroll in the countryside? But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of the city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood because he should have remained in the city of refuge. Now my point is simply this. God designated a place of safety. A place to where you could flee and know that you were protected. If you leave it, there's no protection there. Number four, the ship. If you come to the New Testament, you realize the Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts, chapter 21, was arrested. He was first carried before Felix, the governor, and Felix was somewhat impressed with Paul, but he wanted to keep things in a political way. And he was succeeded by Porcius Festus, who left Paul in prison now for 2 years at Caesarea. Paul had appealed to Caesar, and for that reason, Paul would be sent to Rome to appear before Caesar. While he was making his journey there was a centurion who was traveling with Paul, and they made their way as far as the Greek Isles to the island of Crete. And as they arrived there was a very dangerous part of the voyage. It was getting very near the winter time, and the winds and the waves were very difficult. And Paul, in Acts 27, beginning with verse 9, was given a warning. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than the things spoken by Paul. This was a very dangerous journey, and Paul said, "You better not go. There's true danger there." But as I go further, Paul and those people on the ship with him endured 14 miserable days. It was so miserable that the sailors on the ship would not even eat food. The wind was blowing so strong that the ship was being beaten and tossed about, that they were so afraid that it was going to be torn up, that they were taking the ropes, the cables, and tying around the bottom of the ship to keep the ship from falling to pieces. And after enduring 14 days of this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Paul, and we have what's said here in verses 22 through 25. "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed God has granted to you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe that God that it will be just as it was told me.'" He said, "What you have to do is, folks, we've got to stay on this ship. God has told me we're going to be preserved. But now as I go a little bit further, the only way for them to live was to be on that ship and not leave it." Verses 30 through 32. "And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off." Some of the sailors thought, "We're going to get on this little lifeboat, little skiff." Paul said, "No, the only way to be saved, the only place of refuge, is to stay on the ship. If they'd gotten in that boat, they would have died." And then when you come to the end, all 276 passengers on that boat were saved because they went to the place of refuge. Which brings me to point number 5. And the one which I really wanted to make from the very beginning. And that is, as you look at the ark, you look at the house, you look at the city, you look at the ship, all of those were places that were designated by God as a place of safety to which you could go and know that you would be preserved and know that you would be kept alive. Is there a place of spiritual safety today? Yes, there is. And it's to be in Christ. It's to be in the church. And to be in Christ or to be in the church is to be a Christian. In Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 26, Paul says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You see, when you believe and you are baptized, you put on Christ. As I go further to other passages like 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You're in Christ, that's where you become a Christian. And as I go to Acts 2:47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Everybody who was believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized were being added to the church by the Lord. That's His work that He does. And that's where safety is found. the only place where salvation is found is by being in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, all spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. Acts 4 verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes into the Father except through me. Which is where we end. Are you safe? If a tornado was coming, and we knew that it was going to hit this building, what would we do? Many of us would say, I'm going to the basement. I'm going to flee to a place of safety. Jesus is coming again. Are you safe? Have you fled to God for refuge? Is that where you have gone to try to save your life? If it's not, you need to make that choice today. Will you not take refuge in the Church of Christ? The song, number 701, is our invitation song. Tomorrow may be too late. Never have truer words been spoken or sung. Tomorrow may be too late. Many people have decided, for whatever reason, during a time of a storm, that they would seek a place of refuge and safety. Some people have thought, I can weather the storm. Some of those hurricanes came on the coast a few months ago. There were people who thought, hey, I can stand it. I can handle it. Some of them lost their lives. There's some people who feel that it's not going to happen to me until it comes too late. I know that some of you are perhaps thinking, you know, really today's the day I need to be baptized. I need to become a Christian. I need to seek a place of safety. Some of you maybe have been looking at your life saying, I need to respond to the invitation this week and make my life right with the Lord and be restored.